This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Nearly all species of lemurs are under threat. That's according to a new review by an international group of conservationists. They determined that 95% of lemur species face a high rate of extinction. One of the reasons? Lemurs are seeing their home on the island of Madagascar destroyed from logging and mining, and they're also being hunted for meat. Dr. Kathy Williams is an expert on lemurs. She was the longtime senior veterinarian for the Duke Lemur Center and is the current curator of the Living Animals Collection at the center and joins us now. Kathy, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Tell us more about this report, because really the lemurs have been under threat for a while, but now this seems to be a pretty rapid tick up. Tell us about the report.
Sure. Well, the report emphasizes what scientists have known for some time, in that lemurs are facing a lot of pressures in Madagascar, and lemurs are only found on the island of Madagascar. And due to human activity, burning forests for agriculture, burning forests for grazing, and those other factors that you mentioned, their habitat is shrinking rapidly. And so this report comes out of a meeting that was held in Madagascar just a few months ago, looking at what has changed in the last 3 to 5 year period of time. And it emphasizes that, yes, all the same factors are still at play. It's still a very critical situation, and it's just getting worse.
So what have they found just in the last few years that's accounting for some of this change?
Well, so as scientists do more work on the genetics of lemurs, they're finding that there are actually more different species of lemurs than were previously recognized. So there are currently 111 different species and subspecies, and forests are continuing to be destroyed at rapid rates. And so efforts that were meant to stem that loss have not had nearly the effect that people had hoped.
And what were those efforts?
So there are a number of organizations, predominantly non-governmental organizations, from a variety of international conservation organizations and the Duke Lemur Center, that are working on the ground to help educate the local community members, about why having healthy forests is important, to help teach them different sustainable agricultural methods so that they don't continue to burn forests to create new farmland, to help educate people, provide better living standards for them, just hasn't been enough.
Is this a reasonable approach? I mean, you talk about pressures. Obviously, then there's pressure on the population for arable agricultural land. So
sure.
Talk about these tensions and whether or not I would have to sort of compromise the human population in order to save the lemur. What's the relationship, and what would be the success rate if those practices, agricultural practices, changed?
Well, currently, the population of Madagascar, it is a very, very much a developing country, a very, very poor country. And the majority of people eke out a livelihood, if you call it that, from very subsistence farming, on ground that doesn't have the sustainability to provide a good living. The soils erode very, very quickly. People can burn down forests. They'll get a good crop for about 3 to 5 years, the soil erodes, then they have to move their lands to another area and burn more forest. So creating sustainable agricultural practices is hugely important, helping provide them with other livelihoods besides subsistence agriculture, things like how to produce poultry safely for them on a more commercial scale, how to produce beef and fish farms and rice, which is what they grow for their main staple, sustainably, and to provide income for them and their communities, would go a long way to preventing additional forest destruction.
Ecotourism is also an important part of this, is it?
It is, it is. And ecotourism brings a lot of money into the economy. And not only does it bring money into the local economies, but it also provides jobs for people that live in those areas and helps them understand why saving their forests is so very, very important.
So we've figured out what some of the internal pressures are with the population on Madagascar. What about external pressures to mine and other ways in which the land is used?
Sure. Well, Madagascar is rich in natural resources, and that's natural gemstones as well as raw materials, things like nickel and cobalt and tin, and some of those metals and minerals that are very important for the products that all of us use, that's computers and cell phones and, you know, the cookery and utensils that we use every day. We don't think about where that material comes from. So, but Madagascar is rich in those resources, and there's a huge economic pressure. Well, these companies come in and offer a lot of money to the government and promise a lot of jobs to the local economies. That, unfortunately, most of those resources are in natural areas that create more forest destruction and create more pollution of the environment. So it's quite a trade-off between, you know, trying to support the economy, provide some local jobs versus further destroying certain areas of natural areas.
Well, and how much of that wealth that's generated from their mineral wealth actually stays in the country, and how much of it flees?
A large portion of those profits go to the large corporations and the heads of those large corporations, which are multinational corporations not based in Madagascar. So, yes, it does provide some local jobs, and that stays in, you know, that stays local, but the majority of profits are going to go out of country.
Let's talk more about these lemurs. In doing the research for this, I was shocked to see that there were, you said, 111 species that we know about so far. This is an island. This is one animal. That's a lot of differentiation for one animal on an island, which then suggested to me multiple ecosystems if they've all found their little niche, 111 of them so far on the island. This must be a pretty diverse place when it comes to economic ecosystems.
Right. It is second in biodiversity only to Brazil.
Wow.
So it's
and
about,
much smaller, I would guess?
It is about the land mass of Texas. Wow. So, yes, quite a bit smaller. And one of the reasons that that occurred was because when Madagascar split off from the mainland of Africa, you know, 130 million years ago, that it evolved in isolation of the kinds of pressures that were on the mainland of Africa or in Indonesia. So there were not the same predators that were on the island. There are no lions or jaguars or the big cats. And there are many, many small little environmental eco-niches, different temperatures, different microclimates, different food availability. So the lemurs radiated, or they diversified, if you will, to make use of all these different microhabitats. And that's why there's such extreme diversity on this island.
So you've got the diversity to begin with. They take full advantage of it because there's not the pressure by predators and other things that they would have experienced on the mainland. They can diversify within the animal itself, creates these species. But that means they have a place in those diverse systems.
Correct.
Which is to say that if something happens to that population, as we know from any kind of species that we lose, it has an important, and in this case, it seems to me, a vital role in sustaining all of those, all of that diversity.
It's very important, and certainly all the species are interconnected, whether it's plants, animals, insects, and all of that. Lemurs are not only being cute, fuzzy, and adorable, they also are very important as seed dispersers for the forest ecosystems. They actively pollinate just because they are feeding on nectar and flowers. So they go from one flower, they go to another flower. So they're very important pollinators as well. And then they're very important animals in the entire food chain. Some lemur species eat insects, some lemur species eat plants, some eat, you know, seeds and nuts.
Parts of bamboo. Is this true?
Right, absolutely. So there are actually four different species of bamboo lemurs. They subsist almost entirely on bamboo, and some of these species live in the same habitat, and they survive by eating different parts of the bamboo. So one lemur will eat the stem of the bamboo, one will eat the leaf of the bamboo, one will eat the petiole of the bamboo. So very selective feeding strategies to allow them to coexist within a similar habitat.
So this suggests their importance, any species' importance in the entire matrix of ecosystems and biodiversity, why it's important to save them, in other words.
Absolutely.
Also, we do a fair amount of research on them because they're both a little bit like us, they're primates, and so radically different. So they're important in research, aren't
they? They are very, very, very important. The prosimians, and that's the order that lemurs actually came from or are part of, were sort of the very base lineage that humans eventually evolved from. So it was lemurs, prosimians as a group, which evolved into monkeys, which also then gave rise to the great apes, which then gave rise to humans. And so we can learn a lot about our evolution and similarities and how we evolved the way we did, and possibly how lessons that we can learn for how we can better cope, how primates, how they handle the world, our social structure, our learning structure, brain development, a lot of different aspects.
Well, one thing they handled pretty well was biodiversity. That's the thing we don't get right. So we could learn from them. Certainly.
Right, we're still working on that.
In about the 30 seconds I've given you, what's the prognosis? What are the chances that things could turn around?
Well, it's very grim right now. There are certainly, including the Duke Lemur Center, a number of organizations that are trying their best to preserve habitat in Madagascar. Certainly, if there can become a stable government in the country, that would go a long way towards helping. And anything that populations in the United States and other developed countries can do to help support conservation in Madagascar, to help put pressure on the local government to prioritize conservation, it goes a long, long way. So the Lemur Center is actively doing that. You can get more information on the Lemur Center's website at lemur.duke.edu for listeners that would like more information
area. And if you didn't get that, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org, and we'll link you there. Kathy, thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Dr. Kathy Williams, longtime senior veterinarian for the Duke Lemur Center, the current curator of the Living Animals Collection at the center. And as I say, you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a new report that takes a state-by-state look at political dynamics, including here in North Carolina. We'll talk about it in the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.